Reverend Felmanis, I'm very pleased to meet you after all this time, and I would like you to, and Dr. Cleve, to say what you remember about Anna Igbe. That is all those many years ago.
Yes.
When you came to Karunarapuri, I think.
Well, perhaps Professor Bessie may say something about it, and I will join it in.
Yes.
Vai tu varētu kaut ko pastāstīt par Anna Igbe?
I will ask the question in Latvian, and then we will ask you translate that. As you come there, I do.
Oh, you are going to ask a question of whom?
About Anna Igbe.
Of Feldman?
But you can make your
check. English. Robert Feldman speaks English.
Mm-hmm.
You can ask in English.
When did you meet Anna Igbe first?
It was during Anna Igbe's visit, when she was on leave and came from India, and there she had many lessons in different places and congregations, but it was not really any contact. I was too small piece in this big society of those days. I was only listening to her, to her lecture. She was lecturing in the congregations, and I have no real special impressions about all that, because it was a mixed in these evenings and in this intercourse between the people, so it I had no special impression, but interest, of course. I knew she is a missionary doing a very good and great work, such a work which is, to my mind, something extraordinary, great and important. And I was enjoying these conversations. It was only there between these pastors who were there assembled. But I remember one interesting thing, perhaps you know it also. It was the vocation of Anna Igbe to missionary.
The what? I didn't understand that.
You
the,
know it.
No? What?
The vocation? It,
she, the vocation.
The call.
She, yeah, all right.
She told it once as we were speaking about the things. She remembered how did it happen that she became a missionary.
Yes, yes.
She was returned from Russia, where she had very sad experiences. Her husband died there, and the younger son died. Or one of the sons died, was it the youngest one? I don't know exactly. And she lived with her father, the bishop. The bishop was active at his work. It was in 23 or 34, about that time. Perhaps even it was a bit earlier too.
Where did she live? Do you remember that?
It was,
where did the bishop
yes,
live?
It was in a cottage which was close to this new built middle school led by the church. It was the Liebmüsches Ehele 1. And there in the small cottage belonging also to this school, to the territory of the school, resided our bishop. There was this, it was not great house, but it was for a family house. And there, the wizard, the bishop had a visit from a pastor from India, a missionary.
Sandegren.
I remember, was it Sandegren?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, probably.
Perhaps, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It may be, or was it not Sandegren? Not quite exactly, I remember. And they were talking about the mission. The guest was persuading our bishop to start the mission work. We were in no way prepared for that after the war. The needs and the losses were extremely great for the church. Nobody was prepared to think about such things as mission, as the mission has existed under the Leipzig leadership before the war, as it was in the Russian province. But the Leipzig mission was not permitted, neither to India nor to Africa, by the British government, still after the war, until the 1929, I suppose, then returned also the German missionaries. So the Swedish and the Swedish bishop presented such a plan. The Latvian church may start the mission activities as far as it is possible, as far as she is able to do anything. She would get any support from the Swedish mission, and if we would have missionaries, the Swedish mission would willingly accept them for the Swedish mission.
Yeah, yeah.
As Latvian missionaries in the Sweden mission. And pursuing this this discussion, Sandegren even told such a proposition: we are now badly in need in some missionaries in women missionaries for the Zenana work.
Yeah, for the women.
And we would very willingly accept any missionary from Latvia for such a purpose. Anna was sitting together and them at a table, bishop and the Swedish bishop and Anna, all were joined in this conversation. And then all at once Anna was listening to all the things, and as the Swedish bishop so quite practically and directly and with such a stress said this, it was something like an invitation, really. All at once, I was like, well, then take me.
Yeah.
We just said, of course. And that was all. That was all. There was no age of revelations or all those romantic and
visions.
And, tremendous things. It was so extremely simple.
Did you know
direct
her? Yeah.
And direct.
Did you know her then? Did you talk to her and did you talk to Anna Irbe at that time?
She wasn't, no. She was then preparing. She went to England to
learn English.
Such courses of nursery and some medicine, I suppose.
Yeah.
I know it also not very clear, but also from the letters she wrote. First she was writing letters which were printed in the local newspaper concerning her preparations, and then also the going to India. And she started, I suppose, to India. It was 25, I suppose.
Mm.
After the course, she had finished.
In England?
In England.
Yes.
The police, I don't know. Nothing more clear about it. Which was so very startling and so convincing and characterized the character of a personality.
Of Anna Irbe.
Yes, it was really this promptness, exactness and straightness. Well, there is a need. There am I. Tell me.
Yes.
The same moment approved, and his yes, please, and that was all. The last, you know.
So, were you a pastor at that time? Were you a pastor then? Were you a priest?
Oh no, I was. At that time it was. I began my studying at the university in 25.
So how were you involved with her? How did
yes,
he...
it came later on. My personal life was also not so very simple. It was there were several difficulties which, in the course of the general events in our country, it was a very a period of a depression, economic depression. But it was all somehow stressing my own inner plans. 4 years I was a student at the teacher's seminary in Yangon from 25 to 30, and then it was 1 year left and that would be a teacher. But it was a very interesting thing. From the very beginning, but already at the first time of my seminary, I knew this quite distinctly that I will not be a teacher. I will have some more, I will study, and that ripened the plans of how I would manage it, if I would become a teacher. I would try to, at the same time, to be somehow to manage studying at the university, which was of course a nonsense. All those things are not to be at the same time possible.
Difficult to combine.
And then we came, and I went in our family's life. It was this period of the great economic crisis in Latvia.
Oh, awesome.
The result was that many many people, many were dismissed from their places because of shortening of funds and so on. And so also my father, though he was not yet 60, he was 58, because of shortening of this of the stuff, he was dismissed from his work at the state railway some transfer. I can't define in English. It is something which is done with this there were some this material directly.
You can say it in...
Yes, it's...
He
was there for years and years and years. From the very beginning, he was in connection with the railway systems. First, as we were born, with my brother, he was a bookkeeper at the railway central this organization that was outside the Latvian territory, that was in Vilna. Now that was different. It was a very difficult time during the wartime, but now in Latvia he has regained his work, and now he was dismissed. It was very grave problem now for the family as to the existence.
So you had to work?
Beg pardon?
So you had to work?
Yes, I had to work. The teacher's seminary, the director and the staff, that were very distressed about it and promised every possible help. I must finish the last term, and then it would be, of course, the problem solved. But I must say, I had such a heathen joy about this these sad proceedings. Now I was free. I got a small job there at the office, also at the railway system, from 9 to 3 in the afternoon, just the same. In the same summer, I started preparation in Latin, and in autumn I entered this evening school, a middle school which prepared also for university studies. The teacher seminary had no Latin, So I had now to study Latin first, and have it made during this summer, and in the autumn I joined this evening gymnasium, finished it 1930, and same autumn became a student of theology and studied 1935 and was ordained 1935. Now in the middle of this time, during my studying time,
Anna Irbe came on furlough. Anna Irbe came on furlough, came here in 1932, I think. Was it?
She spent 1 year.
Yes, it was this time 33. When I got in a close connection with those beginnings of our mission work. And it happened.
Did you?
When I was asked Pastor Edgar Rumba to come over and then take over this work as a vicar's work in his parish. I was not yet ordained, but it was altogether 3 years. I was helping in the parish work and at the same time studying and living in the same house with Pastor Edgar Rumba. My job was to organize the children's work, organize the young people work, and to help sometimes in church services, and one special thing, I was, as to that time, already interested in missions. I can't tell you in what way came it, but it was a vivid interest. And at the same time, it was a time when Bishop Irbe died, and Pastor Rumba was the mission secretary of the Latvian Church, having the correspondence and supervising the funds and the connection with Anna Irbe, with exchange of letters. And I was interested in these things too. I had take over a part of this work to supervise the prints and also sometimes the correspondence and this small library in growing, and for and all over such direct connection also already with Anna Irbe in some cases. As I was ordained, I had to leave Professor Rumba, Archbishop, Archbishop asked me to be a vicar at a congregation outside Rigas. Before there would be the elections in this congregation and a new pastor would be elected. I spent a winter outside Riga, and as my work there was finished, I was also a vicar in another part of Latvia.
And so, which time did you meet Anna Edbe? In 1932?
It was,
when
yes,
you were in Riga?
It was already 35, 36.
Mācītājs Feldmans, tad, kad Anna Irbi, kad Anna Irba atbrauc atvaļinājumā, vai jūs personīgi viņu satikāt tad?
Nē.
Jūs tikai noklausiet kaut kādu runu, ko viņi teica katreiz?
Jā, redziet. Jā, man nebija tā izdīva.
He did not meet personally, but she went around and gave speeches and he heard her.
Oh, right. Yeah. Yes, that's 32.
In some place, yes.
Was it? Yes.
Yes.
Yes, did you? I was then in Jelgava and fully and completely absorbed with my seminary.
Yes.
And not having such possibilities even. But now it was already this point of the quite direct connection to the mission.
I was correspondence now.
Yes. Vicar, and for the moment I was without any congregation to be there as a vicar. I was such a free time, such quite a short period. And quite unexpectedly, I met Edgar Rumba on the street. I haven't seen him for a year. The first question was, what are you doing? Have you some work already, some parish work? No, I said, nobody has asked me, nobody has been betrayed with such a word. And then his next question was, well, take over the mission secretary's
job.
That was all. This short conversation on the street was exactly as it was with Anna Irbe at the table. And so I became the mission secretary in 36 December. And has to undertake the correspondence and also the printing work, the supervising of this small monthly. And my first great undertaking was in the summer to visit Sweden to get in contact with the Swedish Mission Society and to visit Archbishop. But I did it a little prolonged. I went not direct to Sweden, but I went first to Estonia, visiting the mission secretary, the pastor, who was supervising the work. But there was nothing much to do or to speak. So I went to Finland over and had a mission, and had a visit to a Finnish mission. Very interesting and very friendly accepted, having this contact to Finland. And then, from Finland to Sweden. It was already the summer time, some personalities were on leave, so I had to stay in Uppsala with a pastor, Lars Nielsen, who had been also missionary.
Yes.
And got very fine contact with this nobleman in his house, Then afterwards I visited, of course, Archbishop as the leader of the mission.
And the Vengeance?
I have done a very great and capital work in working the organization of the home mission activities, the home supervising, and namely not founding a mission society as it is in Germany, where the societies of people who were coming to this purpose made their own organizations independent from the church, but existing on their own way, having some contact with churches, of course. But Sweden had this organization in quite a different way. It is not